Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sanjay Morella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice with your host.
Sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You wanna go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's going to be one of those nights. It's Throwback Thursday. But, well, while the music's a little throwback, we're certainly not throwback. I am Lindsay Ward, the host. And joining me, as always, is my producer, Sir Rockin.
You like the music choice so far?
I haven't heard the song in forever, dude.
It's Throwback Thursday to 1997.
And well, Barbie's wrapped in plastic, and so is our sponsor, Wrestling Figures Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211, for all your action figure review needs.
He just put out a video with the animated Mankind entrance, which is kind of awesome. So check it out, youtube.com/MBG1211.
And of course, you know he had his review earlier in the week of his Luke Harper figure, which I'm just so jealous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have a Luke Harper.
I don't have the elite Luke Harper. He's one ahead of me. He's always one ahead of me.
He'll always be one ahead of you.
Dude, I can, if I could even find any of the Wyatts, I'd be happy. I mean, I have all three sitting here, but to even find them in the stores is impossible, so that's definitely good news for them.
It's a good sign for the Wyatts that they, well...
they sell out.
They're selling out all over the world. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of selling out all over the world, we're going to be talking tonight about the fantastic new documentary from WWE, if I could talk, featuring the one, the only, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I pulled a clip from the extras portion of the DVD. It's a funny story. We're going to get into that later in the program.
Yeah. Rock and I both watched at least the documentary portion. I haven't seen the extras yet. But I just got done watching the documentary today. Oh my God, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. The man has had a life.
And it's been a very long life. And he started at a very young age, but we'll get into that.
Yes, but
later.
We're also going to be talking about tonight's exciting NXT. And, well, we have news as well. But before we jump to the news, what's our question of the night?
What's your favorite Paul Heyman moment? I don't know where we got that one from.
Yeah, no idea. You know, we're being lazy and just tying it into a discussion lately because, yeah, we can. So, let's jump into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWmania.com. And, well, we have breaking news.
We do. Let's cue the breaking news bumper.
We'll be right back.
you're so going to get sued. Anyway, moving on. Breaking news released as of tonight. It seems that, well, one Alberto Del Rio is basically done with WWE. He was fired this evening after, well, it seems he attacked a staffer.
That's the rumor going around right now, that he attacked a staffer at television this past week, and he was released due to it. The full story on WWE.com, and it's breaking news on their website. I came back from the store, and I was like, is that anything? And I'm just seeing all over Twitter and Tumblr, it's like, Del Rio was fired. Okay. Yeah, WWE announced the release of Alberto Del Rio due to unprofessional conduct and an altercation with an employee. There's a couple different stories going around, and people have been having some fun with his Wikipedia page.
yeah, they have.
They've been changing the entry like multiple times so far. It's kind of hilarious at this point. Everything from spitting in the face of Triple H to something to do with Stephanie or something like that. He's done so many things, apparently.
I saw the one where he apparently was behind robbing Dane O'Brien in a Chris Benoit mask, and when he got done, he said he did it for The Rock.
I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people.
Did it for the people, yes.
I love that promo. One of the best promos ever by The Rock. Yeah, so it's kind of strange that he's been released. The rumor going around, Rob Feinstein's been the one sort of circulating some stuff, so we'll give him credit, or not so much credit if it happens to change tomorrow, that he got an altercation with a guy from WWE.com, a social media guy for the website, and it either happened in the backstage area, happened in catering, something was said, and Del Rio went off, and eventually, supposedly, allegedly, slapped this employee of the company, and WWE was none too happy.
Well, no, because that's a lawsuit. I mean, seriously, that's what this is. This is a lawsuit. That employee can now sue WWE and Del Rio personally for assault.
Correct.
I mean, that is not a situation you want on your hands, and I can completely understand why, if the story is true, why WWE was forced to take immediate action, because if they even hesitate for a second, that can become very ugly very quickly, and there's nothing saying that this won't get ugly if it's true. But yeah, and also I'd just like to point out, because I did see this in some places where some people were complaining about Randy Orton making fun of fans. There's a difference between Randy Orton making fun of fans and keeping his job versus Alberto Del Rio slapping somebody and getting fired.
Now, can we clarify what can you tell people what happened with that alleged fan of Randy Orton's?
Basically, Randy Orton allegedly called a fan Miss Piggy.
Now, I guess you don't know the backstory of that. That was his stalker.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just pointing that out there. That,
yes, I know. I know the backstory, but basically the circumstances are he called her Miss Piggy. He made fun of her.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's calling him out for being a bully and this, that, and the other. And Randy obviously had his reasons.
Randy apologized.
And basically, I saw people pointing out online that it's like, well, how come Randy gets to bully a fan and call her Miss Piggy and keep his job, but Alberto Del Rio gets fired for attacking a staffer? There's a difference between slapping somebody in the face and insulting someone. There's a huge difference, especially if the person that gets hit works for the same company. Because again, that's assault, that's a lawsuit, and that's something WWE does not need or want.
And to point out, the fan did not get offended by said comments. It was blown out of proportion by the internet.
Yes.
Just wanted to throw that one out there. But Del Rio being fired, and people have already said, oh my god, it's a work. No, it's not.
No. This is not a work. This is, if they're citing the exact reason, this is not a work.
It was not best of luck in your future endeavors. It was due to unprofessional conduct and an altercation with an employee. There was nothing to follow that. They were not... See, usually WWE says best of luck. There's none of that in this store. This item on WWE.com.
No, it's basically, dude, you screwed up, see you, bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Del Rio is in his last year with the company. That was given by his interviews he's been giving a few months ago. He is on his way out of the company, so to him, this may not be a big deal at this point. Basically, he's done a few months earlier than probably he was expected to be.
Yeah, he was pretty much telling everybody that he was not going to renew his contract and he was leaving at the end of it. So it was not going to be a huge surprise when Alberto Del Rio initially left the company. However, it is a bit shocking that it came this soon. Simply due to the fact that it's really his own doing, at least from everything that is coming out right now. And it's just, it's really kind of shocking to me that he would do that.
It is, but again, it's that Mexican temper of his, apparently, supposedly, what's coming out anyhow. He's a very, very big temper when it comes to those sort of things, and just sort of went off on the dude. And temper aside, that should not happen in any sort of workplace environment, if any kind. And what's interesting is he went off on you talk about the double standard for Randy Orton. Del Rio went off on Ricardo on Twitter a few days ago, and there was nothing said about it, or it wasn't made a big deal by anyone, but he did. So it's like, huh? Did Del Rio see the writing on the wall coming about his departure?
Well, the question is how long ago did the attack happen? I think everybody's assuming that the attack happened within the last few days, or at least the last week.
I believe it happened this week at TV.
It would have, yeah, I mean, this is a pretty quick turnaround if that's the case, and that would obviously be, I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't sent home for that.
It probably happened... after his match on Main Event. That would be my guess.
Possibly.
I don't think they would have sent him out there if he did that. They would have rewrote the show and done something else.
Possibly, but it all kind of depends on how quickly it all happened and what the time frame was. Because, again, it's something of if he, you know, slapped the guy and the incident happened and then he went out and wrestled, they could have sent him home afterwards. Like, that's the thing. Nobody really knows what's going on.
Oh, no.
The fact that, you know, it is confirmed that he was unprofessional. That's what he was fired for. There was an altercation with someone backstage that resulted in his immediate termination from the company. So I'm sure some details are going to be coming out, but I would not be surprised if this is kept really quiet.
Oh, most likely it'll be kept very quiet. Though people will probably get some scoop on it here in the next day or two. I would assume we would hear something probably at the earliest tonight or going into tomorrow of some sort of news regarding it. But yeah, it's a shame he lost his job, but at the same time, I don't think it's a big loss for WWE.
No, he was winding down. That was very clear. I mean, they were just pretty much using him as sort of a way to boost other talent. You know, he was just kind of there. They really didn't have anything for him. You could tell. They had definitely sort of just dropped him off the face of the earth, as it were, in terms of storylines. Because when was this last big storyline? It was with...
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I think since around this time last summer, I would guess.
Yeah, when he was feuding with RVD for the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah. So, it's very clear that Del Rio was done, WWE was done, and they were just both kind of waiting out his contract at this point for him to leave.
Probably. And this, again, with a company who is looking to cut people for anything.
Yeah.
you shouldn't do it. Hey, go Chargers, go. Run that ball down the field against the Cowboys. Anyway.
Ooh, what channel is that on?
The NFL Network.
I think I actually have that.
Speaking of people being let go from the company, Del Rio is not the only one who is without a job, and these were actual releases. WWE last Friday released Garrett Dillon, Travis Tyler, Slate Randall, Mac Miles, and Danny Jax from the NXT developmental system.
Hmm. Which doesn't come as a surprise. A lot of people were expecting cuts based on the network numbers that came out last week and the fact that the company is looking to cut $50 million in the next year. Or do a total $50 million cut. They're cutting $20 million this fiscal year and then $30 million next fiscal year.
Right.
So, and these will not be the only cuts that come.
Oh, no. And with the developmental, as Hunter said in an interview yesterday, people come, people will go. It's sort of one of those things that he will always have 60 to 70 people at the facility at all times. But people will come, people go. If they show improvement, they stay. If you lack improvement, you will go. And apparently these guys were lacking improvement. And you never know, they could get their jobs back with them at some point. Again, it's developmental. It's not the big times.
No, and the thing is when the way that they sort of do their developmental system now is it's not the developmental system of old where they bring people in and they keep them around for years upon years upon years upon years, and then they never really do anything with them until they either quit or they get fired. They keep it as a pretty competitive system where it's something of you have to strive to be the best, and they only want the best in that system. Because obviously they're going to get the highest return on their investment from the best talent that they have. Because the point of NXT is to create the next generation of stars.
Right.
That's the point of the developmental system. Is not to sort of coddle talent and hold on to talent and basically sign them and keep them off the indies like they did before. It's to take talent they find, nurture it, grow it, and then present it to the viewing public. And if they do well, great. If they sink, well, see you bye.
And especially with them bringing in new talent coming up really soon, Devitt, Kenta, Steen.
Yeah. Has Steen officially signed?
I think he has signed a deal of some sort. I don't know if it's official, but he's wrapping up with Ring of Honor, and then will be making his way to NXT.
Yeah, so, and there's also rumors the Young Bucks might be going to WWE as well.
Oh, that's them starting crap, because, oh my god, we took a picture with the toy tag titles, all that was.
Yeah, but still, rumor nonetheless.
It is a rumor nonetheless, yes.
But yeah, so it's something of, you know, in the case of these guys and these girls that are there, if you don't perform, if you don't meet expectations, you're going to get cut. It's just like any other sport. It's just like, you know, in the case of the NFL. If you're not good enough to make the full team, you get cut. They're essentially paying you to do your job, and if you're not performing, they're not going to keep you around to do it. Plain and simple.
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's always unfortunate when people lose their jobs, especially for people that really want it. In some cases, some of the talent go off, they go on the indies, they work a little bit more, and then they come back.
Correct.
And that's the thing. They can always be re-signed.
Oh, yeah. It's developmental. Anyone can be re-signed.
Yeah, so we may see some of them back. Who knows?
But one person we probably won't see back, and this one caught a lot of people by surprise. Steve Austin's personal beer man. Yes. The one and only, the longtime timekeeper of WWE, Mark Eaton, was let go by the company yesterday.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
Aside from the cost-cutting measures, did they give a reason why?
That's the only reason why.
I mean, it's just like you would think. It's like he's kind of an essential part of the crew. Who's going to do the timekeeping now? Who's going to ring the bell?
They have many announcers who will probably fill in that spot, apparently. So Mark Eaton was released. According to reports, Eaton had been with the company for decades, and his departure was described as a sign that quote-unquote, no one was safe from the company cutbacks.
No, and I'm sure we will see many other very surprising releases in the future, because, again, WWE, it's like, while they don't keep around necessarily developmental talent, in the case of people who have been with the company, Lord, if I could talk, for years, like Mark Eaton, like Howard Finkel.
Yeah, Steve Austin tweeted, hashtag swig of beer to my old beer thrower at WWE timekeeper Mark Eaton, best damn beer thrower in the world, and a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but they keep people around after, you know, especially wrestlers, who've done their time, they've earned their place, and they're lifers. And they, you know, basically, if you give to the company gives back to you. But there's a point, obviously, where, well, they can't give back anymore, unfortunately.
Ah, pretty much.
It was really surprising.
Yeah, you don't think, when you think of talent, you think of office, you don't think of the timekeeper, and it's just one of those luxury spots that just sort of they had to cut back, because he's going to get a very nice severance package from WWE. He'll be well taken care of. But
oh, yeah.
It's just one of those things. It's one of those, when you have a company who is cutting back, I believe, what, 30% of their staff at some point?
I don't know if it's 30. I know they cut back at least 7%.
Well, they're cutting back a lot. It might be 7%. It was like 7% of office and 10% overall, something like that. I don't know. Whatever the number, they're cutting back on a lot of people in a lot of positions. This was one they just had to cut. They have other people who come to the building who probably will ring the bell and take that role. It's unfortunate. Very unfortunate that he had to lose his job, because he's been there forever. It's gonna be interesting when you watch Monday Night Raw when this happens. And it's like, wow, it's somewhat different sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, you get used to the usual faces, and well, now
because whenever they fight by the ring bell, he's the guy who always gets tossed around.
Yep. Well, at least he doesn't have to go through that anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, he got tossed around a lot.
Honestly, I'm surprised he wasn't looking at retirement. Maybe they offered him a retirement package.
Maybe they did.
Who knows? Yeah, but all the same, no more Mark Eaton, no! But speaking of changes...
Changes, you say? Changes.
More changes coming for WWE. It seems that, well, the times are definitely a-changing, because in addition to, well, a new timekeeper, we're also starting to see the new title belts. That's right. In case you hadn't noticed, WWE's been through a little bit of a rebranding effort where they've been putting their brand new logo on everything, including the title belts. And pictures came out this week of Triple H with the World Heavyweight Championship, just the World Heavyweight Championship, no big gold belt, with the WWE logo on it.
Right.
The new one.
The brand spanking new one.
So it seems the scratch logo of old is being retired, and we're getting a new futuristic looking logo. And I have to say, I'm not a fan of the new logo, but it does look good on the belt.
It looks good. Say it looks good on the belt, yeah. So that's what counts. It looks good on the belt.
But could we see maybe the big gold belt retired?
I would assume it's going to be retired. But if you like the old-fashioned belt, you know, the old WWE title with the current title with the old logo, it's now 20% off at WWEshop.com.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah, they're trying to unload all the old belts.
Yeah, pretty much, so they can bring out the new ones, because the new ones are probably going to debut at SummerSlam. So, and well, in addition to the rebranding effort, it seems that they might be moving things.
Moving things?
A rather mysterious picture came out from a fan this week on Reddit where they were posing in front of one of the brand new WWE trucks. That's right, WWE dropped a really pretty penny to wrap all their trucks again, you know, with all the updated information, the brand spanking new logo, some new faces, And, well, even a new day for SmackDown.
As you can see on the very expensive WTRtron video screen thingy on the page, there's the picture of said truck with it saying, Thursday nights, 8, 7 Central, Sci-Fi. The technology screen, yes, that's what I called it, the technology screen.
Get it right.
I forgot what I called it. Anyway, according to a WWE source, the SmackDown move to Thursdays is something that has been considered, but no decision has been made regarding the move. As I roll my eyes, with the fall schedule needing to be put in place, surely the decision will come very soon. The same source noted that, well, that listing of the show for a Thursday time slate on the production truck was overzealous move, and the trucks are being fixed to reflect the current and correct information.
No, they're not. They're just going to pull that truck out of circulation until they make the move. Don't be fooled. That had to go through at least 4 people, including probably Hunter or Stephanie, before it went on the truck.
Yeah. Because the people who wrap the truck just go by what they're told. It's not someone overzealous. It was, hey, we're going to do this. We don't think a fan will see it.
Or notice it.
Or take a picture and blow up the internet with it. Oops.
So yeah, so they'll probably pull the trucks that have Thursday out of circulation for a little bit. I think that might be the only one.
I think there are actually a couple I've heard.
They might. They'll probably just pull those out of circulation.
If they can.
And worst case scenario, it's on the truck, it's out. They've made the statement, and well, they'll just deal with it. They can cover it up.
So I just like the fact that they're going to change it. And then when they eventually do move, because they probably will move this Thursday, which is a big mess for us at some point.
Yeah, that's going to make things fun.
That's going to make fun. Coming to the Rack, SmackDown.
Yeah, we may be talking about SmackDown now. All right.
I just like it. They've made it say Thursday. They're going to change it to say Friday. And then when they have to go back to Thursday, it's like, oh, hey, we're redoing it for a company cost. You know, cutting costs, that's going to cost some money, don't you think?
They're not going to fix it. The worst case, if they fix it, they will get a magnet and stick a magnet over it.
I'm just pointing it out. Cost cutting. Just pointing it out.
How much you want to bet that they're going to make the announcement for SmackDown moving to Thursday at SummerSlam? That's where everything's going to get announced.
Oh, probably.
So it's like we just have to get by with it for another week, and then we're cool.
Yeah, it was like, oh, hey, fan decided, let's take a picture in front of the new truck, and realize it says Thursdays. Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. But speaking of SummerSlam.
Oh?
There's some things, you know, tied into SummerSlam, you know. WWE 2K15 stuff's going to get announced, which we're going to talk about here in a second. And, well, former guest of the Rack, which you can listen to at rackradioshow.com, Rob Schomburger will be attending SummerSlam, Lucky Devil, and he will be painting live at the show. Or not at SummerSlam, but he's doing one of the panels, and he will be painting Steve Austin live.
As I got from our good buddy Mark, the press release, renowned wrestling artist and painter of champions, Rob Schomburger, is headed to Los Angeles to participate in festivities leading up to SummerSlam, WWE's biggest summer event. Starting on August 15, Schomburger will paint live outside the panel discussions to be held at the Nokia Theater LA Live. His choice of subject? None other than the legendary Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the several featured panelists. Wrestling fans are encouraged to stop by a theater August 15th to 17th to see Schomburger in action absolutely free of charge. Schomburger's prints, including the limited edition SummerSlam 2014 print, will be on sale at various merchandise areas inside the theater. For Schomburger, the chance to work at SummerSlam represents an opportunity to continue his partnership with WWE, not to mention the chance to paint in one of the world's most celebrated cities. He goes on to say, it's an absolute pleasure to be doing live art in Los Angeles for SummerSlam confidential panels. LA is known as one of the art capitals of the world, and WWE is known for some of its best fans in the world. I am doubly excited to paint my Stone Cold Steve Austin portrait in front of both. If that combination wasn't enough to make any artist anxious, the event stakes recently got even higher when the Texas Rattlesnake himself jokingly tweeted a threat. And we'll get to this later again. And if you screw this thing up, you're going to get your ass a Stone Cold Stunner.
No pressure, Rob. Absolutely no pressure.
We'll get more into that during Tweet of the Week later.
Yeah, but congratulations to Rob. Super cool for him. I would actually love to go and be there and watch him paint. That would be cool.
It seems like it's going to be a recurring thing.
Yeah, in case you didn't realize, if you go back and listen to our interview, again, recradioshow.com, we talked to Rob right about the time he was getting ready to go to New Orleans for WrestleMania. And he was actually commissioned by WWE to paint a 30 years of WrestleMania portrait, which now hangs in the corporate offices of WWE in Stamford, Connecticut. Rob recently put it out on his Facebook, on his Tumblr, and on his Twitter. You can go check that out. And it was an amazing piece of art. I wish he could sell prints of it. Unfortunately, he can't. As it is owned by WWE, so I wish they would sell prints of it. And obviously give him the proceeds, some of them. But yeah, you know, if you haven't seen Rob's work, which I'm sure everybody has, if you don't know the name, you've at least seen his artwork, because it's everywhere. It's amazing.
His artwork is available on WWEshop.com and WWE Auctions.
Yes, so definitely go check that out. But again, huge props, huge congratulations to Rob, because that is so cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool, so go check him out. He'll be at SummerSlam painting Steve Austin, and if he screws up, even if he doesn't, he should get a Stone Cold Stunner, because that would just be a lifelong...
That would probably make his day.
It would be a lifelong dream come true, probably, for Rob Schellenberger.
Yeah, so... Can you tell him a bit of a fangirl, like, gush over him just a little bit.
Can't tell him fully, but a little bit.
Art geek in me, what do you want? So we talked about SummerSlam, we talked about Rob Schellenberger, well, and I also mentioned that WWE 2K15 is definitely going to have a presence as the games always do at SummerSlam. And they're going to be having a panel, they're going to be announcing the full roster, we're going to get a preview of the game, which if you have not seen the still shots of the game, holy shit. I mean, just, holy shit, that's the only way I can describe it. Like, the one of John Cena that I saw, I actually sat here for a minute and went, wait, that's a game?
The one currently on the technology screen... is the game.
Yeah. I actually had a moment where I was like, wait, that's a game? That is a phenomenally, phenomenally good modeling job.
Oh, yeah. That we should clarify that, Steve, for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 version.
But yeah, obviously much better modeling, way more realistic than 13 or 14 were. It looks like it's going to be, pardon my, you know, calling it this because it's not manly at all, but super beautiful game. Because, yeah, that's pretty.
That is kind of pretty. It really is. And we have some details about said video game.
Oh.
Let's start with one of the collector's editions, and that is the WWE 2K15 Hulkamania edition, which will be exclusive to Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and will cost you $100, seeing like the Undertaker one from last year.
Except this one doesn't come with a coffin.
Does not come with a coffin, but it comes with a lot of things. It has a Hulkamania-era packaging, a card-size photo signed by Hulk Hogan, a piece of the ring canvas from Hogan's return on Monday Night Raw in March. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
A Funko vinyl Hollywood Hogan figure. And you also will get two exclusive Hulk Hogan playable characters. One is the red and yellow from his last run in WWE. And the other is the black and white NWO Hogan.
Hmm.
You also get the Sting characters as well when you pre-order. So you can get this for the $99.99 price.
Not $9.99, y'all. $99.99.
Yeah. Just about $90 more than the WWE Network.
On sale now.
On sale now. Get WWE Network for only $9.99.
Ding.
But I like the fact that they're offering another cool set like that, and there'll be a lot of fans going, "Why Hogan? Why Hogan? It's Hulk Hogan, brother." They gotta do something with Hogan. He's back with the company officially. That's why they've done Undertaker. They did Steve Austin. Now it's Hulk Hogan.
They're going through and they're doing all the legends. And truth be told, people will buy the Hogan version because Hogan is still a moneymaker.
Correct.
People will always still buy Hulk Hogan shit, no matter what.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
Just the truth, and it's something of like Rock said, they did a version last year for Taker, where they celebrated Taker. A year before that, they celebrated Austin. So it's just something of they're taking a superstar a year, one of their legends, and they're spotlighting them. And they're getting the bigger names kind of out of the way first. You know, Austin, Taker, Hogan. We'll probably see a Rock edition. We'll probably see a Cena edition, where they spotlight that character, they spotlight that person in the game.
You may get a Shawn Michaels edition at some point.
Shawn Michaels, another great one. You know, so it's something of the it's a money-making scheme. It's a marketing scheme. It's going to get people who may not normally buy the game or might be iffy on the game. You know, it's, hey, we're going to highlight, you know, this really uber-popular superstar that most people liked or most people hated, and to try and get people that maybe might be on the fence about the game to buy the game. Because it's something of last year when they released the Undertaker version. I was sitting there looking at it, and it's like, do I really want to pay $100 for a game that I can't play just to get all that stuff?
Right.
And I seriously thought about it.
She did
really,
for...
Really, really, really hard.
She did for days and weeks. She really, really did. I should mention there will only be 25,000 of the special edition Hulkamania sets.
Wow, that's a lot of autographs. Damn.
That's what Taker did. So it's like
signing over like months.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Damn.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That has to hurt. Cramp your hand up a lot, brother. The one other big little news item out of WWE 2K15 is they've announced sort of basically what the game is going to be about. One, there will be a career mode in the game called My Career, which is being brought up from the 2K basketball franchise, where basically you can be a player in the game, or probably a creative player and take them through a career in WWE. That's pretty much what's been announced there. But the other thing in it is the 2K Showcase, which will be replacing 30 years of WrestleMania, will be broken up to two episodes, each one focusing in tightly on an epic rivalry from the WWE's past. Think of them as mini documentaries of sorts. Could it be Rock vs. Austin, Undertaker vs. Kane? 2K hasn't spilled the beans just yet, but we will find out very, very soon. I'm kind of interested to see what they do. I don't think it'll be Rock and Austin because they sort of went down that path before, but there's a lot they could do.
Yeah, there's so many epic feuds that you could highlight that I would suspect one of them will be a Hogan feud.
I don't think so. I don't know. Because you'll have to work in some more people for that. I think the feuds you're going to do will probably involve a lot of people. That way you can use different characters and such throughout.
Yeah, so we'll just have to see, but very exciting again. I'm sure we will hear plenty more come SummerSlam, because I believe they're doing also a 2K15. Aside from the reveal panel, they're going to be actually discussing the game and kind of revealing more about it as it comes out in October. So we will bring you all that news probably next week.
Probably 2 weeks, because the panel will probably be on Saturday. The panel's on Saturday for 2K. So in 2 weeks from now, we'll have all the details. A couple other news and notes from the WWE 2K15 week so far on IGN. Over 50 days worth of motion capture sessions went on at the 2K State of Art mocap facility, where WWE superstars spent hours getting their signature moves digitally recreated. Somewhere there, Bray Wyatt was probably in a suit, and Lindsay wants to see him with balls all over his body.
I want to see the Wyatt family in the little suits. It would be so funny. Just because I want to see if they stuck the little balls in the beards.
Yeah, that would be kind of awesome. Also, WWE 2K15 will feature five times the animation data of 2K14. And, again, more additional commentary, because they did over four times as many lines as were recorded this time around with Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole together.
So, sounds like it's going to be a really, really, really spectacular game. I'm definitely interested in taking a look at it and seeing what it has to offer.
Which means you'll be on the phone with me as I get the game and start going, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, again, I don't have a system that they put the game out on. So, I'll be watching as everybody else gets it. Another quick note, because yes, folks, this is a big one. We were talking about WWE, we were talking about The Undertaker, and announcement to all the Undertaker fans out there. There's going to be an official signing. That's right. He's leaving his house.
What?
And he's going to Wizard World in Austin.
Well, he's not leaving that much of his house.
He's gonna drive downtown. Wherever the hell it is. He has to leave his house.
He's leaving his house, just not his city.
Yeah, just not his city. He's not flying anywhere. So, pretty much, fans in Texas. Anybody else that can get to Austin.
If you can get to Austin, the Phenom, the WWE Phenom, The Undertaker, will be making his Wizard World debut. Keyword, debut. The Undertaker will make his Wizard World debut at Austin Comic Con on Friday, October 3rd, as announced today by Wizard World, Inc. He will sign autographs and pose for photo opportunities from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. So if you want to get a picture with The Undertaker, or what ever left of The Undertaker, this is your opportunity now.
Yeah, so he's leaving his house, he's going out for an autograph session, which is pretty cool. He doesn't normally do these at all, so if you're even waffling on it, don't just go. Seriously, just go, because this is probably the only one of the Wizard Worlds that he's going to do this year.
Probably this year, he'll probably be venturing out next year. For the VIP experience with The Undertaker, it's $275.
So worth it.
For
I had the money, so worth it. Just if I could walk up to The Undertaker and ask him if I could hug him.
Which he wants to do for the lines. An autograph opportunity is $75 with The Undertaker. And I believe, because their website makes you go back five steps to get what you want, photo op is, let's see, you can talk.
I was going to say, isn't the photo op like 100?
80.
80? So I have to bring my own box? Because God knows he can't pick me up, so.
Yes, you have the box is not included, $80. So it's $275 for the VIP experience, but for photo it's $80 and autograph is $75. The VIP will get you everything, and you get to go right up and not wait, really.
Which would be pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
So, yeah. Get your tickets now. WizardWorld.com.
WizardWorld.com for ticket information.
And somebody better take an awkward prom photo with Taker like they did with Bray. Because if you don't do that, I'm going to be very angry at you.
Oh, I don't think we've talked about it on the show yet. Yeah. So Bray Wyatt was out at Wizard World last week and took an awkward photo with a fan.
Are you displaying said awkward?
I'm going to get the photo in a second.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt had his first, I guess, or not his first, but his first outside of WWE signing experience where he met with his public at Wizard World in San Antonio. Chicago was next. Chicago, you're up. You better not disappoint. But yeah, he did not disappoint. He was described as very gracious, courteous, and friendly. He was taking pictures with the fans. He was signing autographs. He was just being, you know, himself, which is kind of awesome. He signed a title, Don't Stop Believing Derek, Bray Wyatt, which is hilarious.
It is. It is. Yeah, I can't seem to find a picture on Google. So, well, anyway, you can Google it. It's there somewhere in the world, on the Tumblrs and stuff.
But basically, it's like an awkward prom photo where he has his arms wrapped around dude.
Yeah, he does. And it's kind of awkward, and it's kind of awesome at the same time.
And this is the point where Lindsay went, oh my god, he hugs people, I need to get to Columbus.
Yeah, she wants to get hugged by Bray Wyatt.
So if you'd like to help me get to Columbus and Wizard World to get hugged by Bray Wyatt, you can click the donate button.
Either on Rack Radio Show or WildTalkRadio.com. If you do the Rack Radio Show one, we know it's coming directly to us.
Yes. So just keep that in mind. And one last news note, we're going to transition out of WWE and talk a little bit more about Global Force Wrestling, because there's some news about them this week.
Following partnerships with top promotions in Mexico, Japan, and throughout Europe, GFW's newest partnership is with World Wrestling Professionals out of South Africa, the biggest federation in the Southern Hemisphere. WWP puts on shows throughout Africa and India and has run TV shows in South Africa and India. I've spent a significant amount of time wrestling in India, so I know there's a passion for it there, said Jeff Jarrett. There's potential to reach a huge audience in that part of the world, and we hope to tap into that in any way that we can. Our fans might be surprised at the talent WWP already has as well.
Which isn't surprising, because he ran Ring Ka King, which was TNA's Indian venture, for a long, long time over there. It was actually fairly successful.
Yes, it was.
I think they shut it down?
It was very successful over there. It did very well in the ratings. It was a very big deal, but financially, when Jeff Jarrett sort of lost more power, he went away from Ring Ka King.
Yeah, so unfortunately it got axed, but again, not surprised Jarrett's going to India. It's a huge market. Oh, game got interesting.
Hey, look, San Diego scored.
So we might have a tie game here.
In the preseason, they have now, you're kicking from the 15-yard line instead of the usual 2-yard line. And then you take some, so basically from the 7 to 9, it's like the 20th. Or something like that now. And they've made the post higher. They're experimenting with things.
Stop messing with the games! Leave it be!
They think the extra points are too easy. So they're trying to screw with it, basically.
Okay, you know what? If a dude can kick a field goal from 52 yards...
But this won't be in the regular season. This is only a preseason experiment. For the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, no. Just leave it be. Let them do what they know to do.
I know, but this is what they want to do.
Anyway. Back to wrestling. Not surprised Jarrett went to India. It's a huge, like you said, it's a huge market. So definitely congratulations to him. It seems that they're getting all their ducks in a row before they make their anticipated debut.
At some point in 2015.
Yes, at some point in 2015. So definitely looking forward to seeing what they have to offer.
I'm with you.
So on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT. And, well, we're also going to be giving you a review of Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman. Which sounds really awkward. Paul Heyman DVD. We're reviewing it better.
There you go.
There we go. Well, I'm sorry, it's the name of the DVD.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, the DVD review later in the show.
There we go. He's better at this shit than I am. So anyway, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Turn back time. Impossible as it may seem, but I wish I could so bad, baby. Quit playing games with my heart.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were fandangling, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel O'Brien yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to change King the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one. Today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a wrong bottle? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate, everyone picked CB Radio and WTR picked. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls, so I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's having a goal. I don't believe it.
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go. Once in a lifetime.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Years, you know, aside from when Rock sings it. Anyway, welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. By our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure review needs. What? You don't want people finding out that you sing Wannabe? He does. He totally does. I think we actually have a clip of it somewhere.
No, we don't.
I've heard him sing it.
Anyway, we're back.
We're back, and now we're going to have to talk about NXT, which was just kind of an interesting show.
What made it so interesting in your mind?
It was mostly tag matches.
Well, the tag team title tournament, the number one contenders tag team tournament started.
Yes, it has.
So that it was. 2-2, so, anyway. It was split evenly.
It was split evenly, but again, just an interesting show. Not their usual.
Not their usual.
Like,
It was a differently paced show, and one of that had to do with actually these matches actually got a little bit of time. Every match did.
It did, yeah. But the main event particularly got a lot of time, which we're going to get into, but, well, we should really talk about, you know, the first match of the night before we get to the main event.
Jason Jordan and Ty Dillinger took on Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore, who had the quote, "We are stars, we take meteor showers."
Really?
That was the quote.
Can we be any more corny? Just, you know, can we?
Nope.
Really?
So we had Cass and Ty start things out. Cass was showing off his power throughout the match. Jordan won a piece. He tried to lift Cass and had no luck and ended up getting overpowered at one point. Cass worked over Jordan for a while, but with hard knees right to the midsection. Ty had a little bit of distraction left. Jordan actually hit a back suplex and get the big man off his feet. Jordan and Ty worked over Cass for a while, driving big knees into Cass. And, well, when Ty did, it came off very, very sloppy. Just a little bit pointing that one out. They worked over Cass's arm for a while. Enzo got the hot tag. He got beat up and gave his big super kick. And the announcers wondered why he didn't go for the cover after when Ty hit the kick. So Jordan got tagged in. He took Enzo to the corner. They were taunting Cass for a while. Jordan was running in. And Cass dove in front of Enzo, saving him from the hit. And the ref got distracted. Cass hit a boot on Jordan for the win.
So it seems Big Cass and Enzo move on. And, well, Ty and Jason, thanks for coming. Ding!
Sort of, basically, yeah. So it was a nice finish. Cass saved his buddy. Because when Cass hit the big boot, Enzo just sort of fell on top of Jordan. It was a nice spot. So, good. It was a solid match. You can see Jordan and Dillinger need some work. So do Colin and Enzo, for that matter. But they were... Colin was sort of the veteran leading the bunch, it seemed like, in this match, which is saying something, because he usually needs to be led a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why they're there, is they're there to learn and grow. So, obviously, Jason and Ty have a little bit more to go before they sort of mesh. Because they've just been put together. Cass and Enzo have been together for a while. So they're a little bit more solid as a team.
Right,
and as workers in general.
And we really didn't see much out of Enzo. He sort of was on the corner for most of the match and took a couple big spots. And that was about it.
Yeah, they're a little hesitant with him in the ring still. And I'm not sure if that's him or if that's them, because he's coming off a really nasty leg break. So I think they're trying to ease him back into the ring.
Yeah, pretty much. So we have backstage Renee Young doing some interviews tonight. She was interviewing Sami Zayn. He said he was being assigned a partner tonight, but they're not medically cleared. So Kid and Gabriel interrupted and says, well... Kid basically said, you have no friends. Kid talks about how he didn't... He talks about how he didn't fare well against the Ascension when he was alone. And talks about how he's... And then Sami responded back by saying, well, I made both of you guys tap. How did that feel? So, Sami has no partner, but he's scheduled to face Kid and Gabriel until... Adam Rose showed up. Rose says Sami isn't alone, so don't be a lemon. You can be a rosebud. Sami now has a partner in Adam Rose. Rose then awkwardly offered Sami his lollipop. Sami looked at Renee with a face. She sort of, you know, gave the approval. And Sami took Rose's pop in the mouth.
Don't take it. You don't know where it's been.
Rose likes giving his lollipop to men and women.
He gets around, I'll say that.
The look between Sami and Renee was priceless.
Oh, it was. It seriously was. It was just like, So, yeah. But, yeah. And now we get to my favorite match. Well, not my favorite match of the evening, but my favorite person to sort of... make fun of. Mr. Man Panties came out. AKA CJ Parker. I'm sorry. It's what I call it. It looks like he's wearing man panties with a belt. It seriously does. He jacks those suckers up way too high. If I can see butt cheek, it's panties.
Well, we'll get to butt cheek in a minute. His opponent, Xavier Woods. Parker has a social message for change. Stop frickling? Something like that?
Mm.
I don't know. Basically stop farting or something. I don't know. Woods came right in and tackled Parker and laid in with hard chops as he backed him in the corner. Parker tried to escape. Then grabbed him by the man panties to stop him from getting in the ring. And then we saw some man cheeks out of the man panties. And then knocked him out of the ring.
So he gave him a wedgie?
No, not necessarily. He pulled him away. Not pulled up. Pulled him away. So you actually saw ass cheeks. More CJ Parker and his man panties than I needed to see tonight. Just point them out. After seeing Billy and Chuck and Rico the other night.
Yeah.
On the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Anywho. Woods brought him back into the ring, went to the top rope. Parker rolled away. Woods charged the corner. Parker moved. Woods went shoulder first. We had a CJ's garbage chant. At one point, Parker worked him over with a submission where he had Woods' arm wrapped around his own neck and was choking him with it. Short arm clothesline, senton for a two count. Remember that setup. Parker charged with a jumping knee in the corner. Hit it. Hit the cause, which is a double axe from the top rope for a two count. He locked in the submission again. Connected with the clothesline, went for the senton. This time Woods got his knees up. So the educated man realized what was going on and countered it the second time. Woods fired back with left and right, a big forearm and a big clothesline. Woods nipped up after a nice drop kick, charged into the corner. He got backed up on the apron, crossbody from the top rope, got rolled through, two count by Parker, but Woods hit the flat line for a two count. An honor roll for a two count. Woods is getting very frustrated. Can't seem to put CJ Parker away. Woods goes to the top rope, but Woods realizes that Parker is way too far away. So what does he do? He walks the ropes. Does a coast-to-coast big splash for a two count. Woods then goes for a DDT, got pushed into the ropes, went face first into the ropes, and Parker hit his finish for the victory. CJ Parker beats Xavier Woods.
Go, Mr. Manpanties, go.
My only problem was Woods pulled out a great spot that he somewhat hit. Kind of came a little short, but that's besides the point. Camera work is awesome in that case. If you're going to do something big, you got to win with it. That was a big move that should have been a finish, and it only came with a two counts. Like, that was a waste of a big spot for later down the line in a future match.
Yeah. It really kind of was.
Because that should be a finish. If we're going to go coast-to-coast like Van Damme did with the Van Terminator, no one kicked out of the Van Terminator. When Shane McMahon did the coast-to-coast, no one kicked out of it. That should never have been kicked out, because that's a big move that should have been a finish. That would have been better booking, in my opinion. If Woods was going to lose, you don't do the spot.
Yeah, don't do the big one like that.
If any case, have him miss it.
Yeah, that would have been better.
That would have been better.
But it's still a contest between the two. It seems that this feud is going to continue.
It is, and as earlier tonight we had breaking news, we have more breaking news. I played it once, I still had it on the thing, so might as well play it again. Prince Pretty tells us to watch the Tron and tells us it's time to challenge the creature for his NXT championship.
When is he going to challenge? So anyway, Prince Pretty announces that, well, he's going to challenge Adrian Neville for his NXT championship, and when he beats Neville and washes the Uggo off the briefcase, it will be time to celebrate the era of gorgeous.
Yes, I was coughing, so I couldn't talk for a second. Like,
sorry. No, you freaked me out because it's like, I asked, well, when is he challenging? Nothing.
And yeah, I started to cough.
I'm sitting here and I actually turned and looked. I'm like, did my internet drop?
Sorry about that now. Yeah, it's time for all of his wannabe Breeze followers to join the era of Breeze.
Yes, so
they did not give a date for the title defense, but I think it's coming up in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be challenging at TakeOver.
No, it actually happens, I believe, in 2 weeks from tonight.
Interesting. I'm surprised they didn't save that for TakeOver.
Well, anyway, we'll talk about TakeOver at another point.
Yeah, because we know what's happening in TakeOver, so. Spoiler!
So up next, Bayley takes on King Kin's favorite, all everything red, Eva Marie.
In her NXT debut.
What do you think of her entrance?
Is it wrong that I felt like she was trying to rip off Summer Rae?
I thought she was trying to, you know, I figured she was going to get up and do a little dance on the thing at some point.
I know Eva's trying. I know she's trying really hard, and she's shown improvement, and I have to give her props for that. But I swear to God, she has the personality of a carrot.
And the coordination of one, it seems.
Yeah, this was not a good showing for her. I know in reading reports from this show that the audience definitely got her. They gave her a very hard time, which was not called for.
Which you could hear throughout the match.
Which you could hear throughout the match. They were giving her a very, very, very hard time. And some of that was not called for. Most of it was not called for, especially the death threats that were apparently coming out. Y'all, we don't need to be doing that.
No.
I mean, she was actually moved to tears after this because they gave her such a hard time. But it also, unfortunately, is a pitfall of the job. It does not excuse what happened. It does not make what happened okay. But unfortunately, that type of behavior is a pitfall of the job.
Right. So, getting into the match itself, we heard you can't wrestle chance. Eva Marie ducked right out of right through the ropes as Bayley went after her. Eva locked in a headlock, connected with a shoulder block, and then actually blew a kiss at Bayley. And then, after that, we had the chant of the night. Bayley's gonna hug you.
Yep. This was just, yeah, and then after this...
We had Bayley hit the did her whirly bird thing, where she spun on the back of Eva Marie. Then Eva took over, worked over the back of Bayley, more you can't wrestle chance. Bayley fought out the submission that she was doing, the stretch submission. Eva put the stretch hold back on Bayley. Eva went for a suplex, but got countered into a small package for a two count. Bayley took over on Eva, he laid in with right hands. Bayley was furious when she laid in those right hands. Eva got backed up in the corner. Bayley connected with a big flying back elbow in the corner, which was very nice. Then she tightened up that headband. Got all serious. Bayley to Bayley. For the 1, 2, 3, which then preceded by, thank you, Bayley.
Yeah, I wonder if something kind of happened in that match that caused Bayley to get a little rough.
She wrestled Eva Marie.
Yeah, I mean, bless Eva Marie. She's trying. She's really trying, and she's a long way from being.
I will give her credit. This was a better showing than I've seen.
This was a better showing than I've seen. She's definitely improved. I don't think she's ever going to be.
The problem is she doesn't have confidence, and if you don't have confidence, you're not going to succeed. And right now, she's learning the basics. She hit a nice suplex, which was nice. She actually got her over nicely. And she sort of, she needs more expression with her when she's locking in the submission. Bayley did as best as she can to sell the pain of the submission. But you gotta see more from Eva on that, where she actually shows some strength in that. But you can see signs of improvement. She is taking in and learning, but she's a long way away from being ready.
Yeah, Eva needs a year or two down in developmental to really learn and develop her craft. I don't think she's ever going to be super fantastic, but you can see the potential that she could be a decent worker. But again, like I said, she has the personality of a carrot, and a lot of it comes from her confidence. You can tell that she's not confident. You can tell that she's missing something, and I think a lot of it is you just don't know who her character is, what she's trying to play. Like, she's just kind of walking out there, and I think she's trying to be herself, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, like, if you're going to be yourself, you need to find that part of your personality that connects with the audience. And then you have to ramp that up about 10 times. You just can't walk out there and smile and play with your hair and blow a kiss. Because that's not going to work. It's just like, what the hell? What are you doing? I mean, it's basically generic diva entrance number 2.
In WWE 2K15.
Yeah, so it's something of, you know, she's improved, and I applaud her for improving. I don't think she's ever going to be a big star. I think, but, you know, with time and with practice, I think she could be a decent wrestler. But she needs a lot of work in terms of her acting, in terms of her personality, and really in terms of the whole presentation of the character. It's just, it doesn't click and it doesn't work, and it just makes her feel like she has the personality of a carrot. It really does. It's just like, oh hey, I'm here, I'm gonna wrestle now.
Pretty much.
I mean, when you see the divas walk out, they walk out with confidence. They walk out with, this is my ring, this is my house, and I'm going to own it. And that's every diva. Eva does not have that confidence yet. And I'm sure that's something that's developed, but at the same time, it's something you should have if you're wrestling on TV. You need to walk out there and own it.
You got to own that ring.
I mean, even it's like when you look at a character like Bayley, who's goofy and fun, and she's just a happy-go-lucky person, she still has that confidence in herself and that confidence in the character that when she walks out there, she owns the ring.
Kinkins brings up she needs to go to the Lana route and be valet. Rosa is another one in that boat. The thing with Rosa has as far ways away from being anything in the ring, but when she at least gets in the ring, she has confidence.
Rosa actually is not a bad worker. I've seen her work outside of WWE. I saw her in OVW when she first started. She's really not that bad of a wrestler. They just don't give her the time to really shine.
Right, at least she knows that she's in the ring and she has confidence when she's in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with her is, like we said, confidence is key. Confidence is everything. And for Eva to be a valet, the confidence, again, has to come into play. And there really would have to develop a character for her, or she would have to develop a character. The reason why Lana works is Lana is an incredibly confident individual. She's every bit as tough and as badass as Rusev is. In a prettier package. Like, I would actually screw with Rusev before I would ever screw with Lana. Because Lana, honestly, could kick your ass. She walks out there and you believe that. That she just is that tough of a woman that it's like, she doesn't play.
Oh no, she doesn't play at all. And then her acting background really helps with that confidence. And that's... Again, the NXT, the WWE Performance Center is a great place. If Eva can spend time there, they've brought in an acting coach just to strengthen people's abilities.
Well, I think she's spending a lot of time there when they're not filming Total Divas, and I believe it's something of... I don't think she's on the road as much. I think when they're in the off-season for Total Divas, I think she is actually down in NXT.
Probably gets a little bit more time down there. But yeah. Again, there's not really much of an off season with Total Divas. They continuously film.
Yeah, and it's something of if you want to bring her in for a Raw or two, that's fine. But you know, it's really something of she has all the resources at her fingertips because she's at both the Performance Center, and she's also on the road. So she has you know the likes of guys like John Cena, Tommy Dreamer,
no.
Paul Heyman.
Tommy Dreamer works for the other company.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. I thought he was WWE still.
No, no, he works for the other company.
Joey Mercury,
you know, Mr.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, the let's see, the elder statesman of the Wyatt clan.
Luke Harper.
No, I was talking about IRS. I was trying to, you know, elder statesman. Wyatt, you know, anyway, Wyatt's.
No, it's not elder statements. Statesman of the Wyatt family's elder statesman of the Rotunda family.
Rotunda, yeah, okay.
Get it right.
Whatever.
But yeah,
same thing.
She has. Eva really has a unique opportunity in the fact that she's both in developmental and she's on the main roster at the same time. So she has the maximum number of resources at her fingertips to be able to learn and grow as a performer and develop that confidence and develop that character and that acting ability. And I think she's trying. You can tell she's trying. There is an improvement. But I don't know. I don't know if she's ever going to develop into anything more than she is. Unless they can just find that feud or find that person that she clicks with.
Right.
For her to feud with. To bring more of that personality out of her. Because, again, like I said, it's just she walks out and she's just very blah when she walks out.
Pretty much. And this just in, going into halftime, it is 10 Chargers, 7 Cowboys.
Uh-oh. But, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she's a long ways to go. And she needs to have confidence and own it and that sort of thing.
Right. And Acer, you know, brings up a good point. Being a valet manager is a good alternative way than not being a pro wrestler. If pro wrestling isn't a strong suit for Eva Marie, then being a valet of some kind would be good for her. We'll see. I agree with that. But again, it's all about the personality. It's all about the confidence. And that all can be developed. But we'll see how far she can really go with it.
Pretty much.
Which I'm not sure how far she can take it. But yeah, back to the match. It was an okay showing for her. It was not a good showing. It was not a bad showing, but it's the best one that we've seen.
Right, and the crowd had no right to crap on it before even... They didn't even give her a chance. And
no, they really didn't give her a chance. It really wasn't called for.
And that's one of the things. If you're gonna give it, you gotta give something a chance before you trash it.
And again, this kind of goes into the unfortunate situation of she's already debuted on live TV before she's debuted in NXT. So it's something of, we've already seen her wrestle. We know she's not that good. This isn't something of, this is her very first match and her debut match and they didn't give her a chance. She's really already kind of had a chance to the television audience. And this is the kind of response that she's going to get, probably for a while, I would bet. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't make it any better at all. But, again, she's in a very unique situation and scenario.
Yes, yes, she is.
That nobody else in that company is really in.
Correct.
And that's going to lead to some good experiences and some bad. And in this case, this was a bad experience for her. I'm really kind of sorry she had to go through it, because not all fans are assholes like that. And this is the kind of thing that makes wrestlers be a dick to fans, is when fans pull this kind of shit. So, yeah. Shame on you, NXT audience, for doing this. That was not nice. That was not called for. You didn't have to be so rude to her, but at the same time, it's just an unfortunate situation. But moving on. By the way, go Bailey.
Yeah, and she's in. She's trying to get a shot at Charlotte,
which I would kind of like to see. So, moving on from here, we get our main event of the evening, which is Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel taking on Adam Rose and Sami Zayn.
Kidd and Zayn start things out. Kidd got knocked down. Zayn with shoulder block did it again. Zayn tagged in Rose, and then we had a Natty's wife chant, which is funny. Then Rose slapped the ass of Tyson Kidd, and while we were from watching Total Divas, well, he's not into anything much, and did not like to be slapped in the ass. Rose got chased around the ring by Gabriel. This allowed Kidd to be able to knee him in the chest. And this is where Gabriel and Kidd started to work over Tyson Kidd, and work over Adam Rose, I should say, for a majority of the match. They worked on little kicks. Gabriel at one point came out of the corner and got hit with a big spine buster by Rose, which led to a two count. But it was really the only offense Adam Rose was able to deliver in this matchup for a while. Gabriel choked Rose in the corner while Kidd had the ref's back turned. Rose got tied up in the tree. Whoa, Kidd distracted the ref. Again, Gabriel attacked and choked Rose. They continued to work over Rose with double teams throughout the match. There was a big back suplex by Gabriel for a two count. Kidd went for a springboard elbow, missed as Adam Rose got his knees up. Both men make the hot tag. Zayn comes in at House of Fire, clotheslines, big kicks to Gabriel, and a nice drop kick sending him out of the ring. Kidd got tossed out of the ring as he tried to attack Zayn from behind. Both men on the outside. Zayn does a big flip to the outside onto both men. Not to be outdone, Adam Rose hops up onto the top rope. Kidd has them both standing. Zayn has both men standing. Zayn moves, and Rose dives onto both Gabriel and Kidd on the outside. Looks like Rose hurt himself a little bit on the landing. Rose tossed in Gabriel into the ring. He got up in the corner, and Zayn hit the big kick, Yakuza kick, in the corner for the victory. Adam Rose and Sami Zayn move on in the NXT number one contenders title tournament. Good main event.
Great main event. Very enjoyable.
After the match, they were all partying and celebrating, and Albert had the line, "No one puts Albert in the corner."
No, nobody puts Albert in the corner.
They were scared he would shake the desk and break it if he started to dance.
Mm-hmm.
This was a fun main event. This was a different type of show. This was the first of many shows from the latest set of tapings, or second to last set of tapings. We're going to see a lot more tag action because, they're trying to find contenders for the Ascension, which they will probably defend the belts at TakeOver 2.
Yes. So very curious to see who wins this tournament and who gets to challenge the Ascension.
That's a big question, so we'll find out here in the coming weeks. But a solid show tonight.
Very solid show. Very enjoyable. Aside from the nastiness, but well.
We got no control of that. But solid show. I'll see what they do next week.
Yep, so on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we will have our review of the brand new Paul Heyman DVD just released by WWE this week. That's right, we're going to be talking all about, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, coming up next here on The Rack. So stay tuned, because you're listening to WildTalkRadio.com.
Teddy, the original rough shaker.
Sunny and down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind. I think about the girl all the time. East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average, it's almost.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches, to crossing highways, to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's Boots to Ashes time.
from the big returns?
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jason Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moment.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins just hit the shot to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
MBG1211 for all your action figure review needs. Now,
what was that?
He ever turns off the music. Tweet of the week.
Oh, go. It got up to the chorus anyway. Tweet of the week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I went back to our grassroots for this. For those of you that don't know, the original Tweet of the Week segment was actually Sheiky Tweet of the Week.
So, throwback Sheik Tweet tonight.
Throwback Sheik tweet. So these are all the Iron Sheik, which if you don't follow him, why not? What is wrong with you? The Iron Sheik. Chicken or turkey or go fuck yourself. Hello at Selena Gomez. How are your turkey tits? The at Dr. Dre, call me Bubba if you love the mushrooms.
I was going to say, they're objectifying women with that cheeky tweet about Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm. They totally were.
Don't be doing that, people. It could lead to domestic violence.
We're not going to get on that tonight.
By the way, hashtag it happened. Review tomorrow on wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, it happened. Thanks, Snapple, for I break your fucking raspberry tea bottle over the Justin Bieber head.
That's the violence we approve. Breaking bottle.
Everybody approves.
On Justin Bieber. Alright. So, hashtag dog movies. There's something about Mary's leg. 84 Years a Slave. Rob Schellenberger, excited to be to announce I'll be live painting a Steve Austin piece at WWE SummerSlam panels, as we mentioned before, and if you screw this thing up from Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're going to get your ass a Stone Cold Stunner. Hashtag pressure. Which he replied, I'll make sure the paint is properly mixed with some Steve Weiser IPA then. Ryan Russillo, ESPN radio host. Two 70-plus-year-olds, locker room. Talking internet dating. Yeah, she liked my profile. Been on 4 dates. Lives right near the hospital. Steve Austin, Sharknado 2 may have been worse than my scaffold match at Grand American Bash in 1991. Holy shit.
Ouch.
Dolph Ziggler, it's cool when an old song triggers your memory. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba just reminded me of why I listened to NPR. I could have played Chumbawamba. I did not, though. It was in this 1997 throwback. Three-man booth. I would call that a 999 count, actually. Three-man booth. Kane's taking off his mask again? I bet he does the same things when he's about to eat ribs. Ringside access. Obviously, Kane is on masking again, so his insurance customers don't get freaked out when they meet to renew. Hashtag Raw. MMA Encyclopedia. 911, what is your emergency? Pause. A guy put a hat in my briefcase.
Yeah, talk about that. It's just not even okay. Not even remotely okay.
I know. Dolph Ziggler, hashtag short celebs. Hershey Alley. I'm sorry, Christy Alley. AJ Lee. Got groped by Summer and Paige. Told me she loved me. I must have that off-the-market appeal going on for me right now. Hashtag main event. Dolph Ziggler just took a Which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle character are you quiz. I got Rat King. Is that good? No. Lance Storm, 14 years ago today, August 7, 2000, in Denver, Colorado, I lost the WCW World Title match to Booker T 5 times. Triple champ going for 4. Okay. That was the start of his couple tweets. Number 1. A fun note, after I won the U.S. title in WCW, at Joey Styles' phone to congratulate me. This continues. Number 2. The next week I won the WCW Hardcore title, Joey Styles' phone to congratulate me, and joked if I won a title each week, we'd talk regularly. Number 3. After I won the Cruiserweight title, Joey Styles called me again, almost laughing. Wonder if he'd be calling me again next week. Number 4. After I failed to win the WCW World title the following week, Joey Styles stopped calling. Okay, just kidding. Part 1 through 3 are true, though. And finally, Seth Mage. Rumor is that Del Rio got fired because he emailed Stephanie some ideas and accidentally CC'd Dave Scherer.
Wow.
Oh, that was, and if you don't know who Dave Scherer is, he owns PW Insider.
Uh-huh.
So there you go, that's Tweet of the Week. See, I didn't have that many this week.
I'm so proud.
And a lot of them came today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
So now, I say we do the question of the night first, which will lead into our DVD review. So the question of the night was as follows. What's your favorite Paul Heyman moment?
Everything from him going up against the network, if for those who remember that, in ECW, to him with Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff and the burning of the barbed wire wreath in the middle of the ring leading up to One Night Stand. I ask you, what's your favorite Paul Heyman moment?
It's really hard to pick. Because, again, I haven't, it's like, from what I've seen of Paul Heyman, I've seen his WWE stuff, obviously, but I've had to go back and kind of watch all the old ECW stuff because I had never ended, you know, because he's had a really long career. Which we'll get into, and I've had to kind of go back and research it, but for me, I think it's, the one thing that will always stick out in my mind is when Paul Heyman Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon joined forces for the Doomed Alliance.
Because somebody was there to see it.
Yeah, because I was there live. I actually remember being at that show when Paul Heyman walked in with the ECW roster, because I had gone out of the arena to run to the restroom real quick, because it was at the end of the show. I remember this. And I was walking back, and they were walking in.
Yeah. The one of the best moments from that one was when he got up off the... Got off the announce table as he was arguing with JR at the time. And Paul Heyman cuts his passionate promo, and then in the final lines, we're going to take this invasion. We're going to take this invasion to the extreme.
Yeah. And the other one that kind of sticks out is the job evaluation, where he just cut that amazing promo.
That was good.
Yeah. So what about you?
Well, because I had some time, I have audio visual aid for my moment. Cool?
Cool.
You are the craziest bastards I've ever met in my life. I love every one of you. And leave.
Don't take the high road, Paul.
But I have something to say to you. You see, I've waited a long time to say this to you, Eric Bischoff. But in case you don't notice, it's not Paul Heyman with his tail between his legs going to a WCW pay-per-view. You are in our house, bitch. WWE champion for a year is because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesday.
Wow. Burn.
One Night Stand, the original, 2005. Paul Heyman shoots. I love it. Matt freaking Hardy. And Edge was like, you said two words. You lied. You lied. It was supposed to be two words, but you said three. And then he did the spit take. It was funny. It was hilarious. Go watch it on the WWE Network now for only $9.99.
Yeah, so we have to talk about the DVD, because in case you've missed it, the highly anticipated documentary about Paul Heyman and his career was released by WWE this week, and Rock and I have both had a chance to watch it, and we have to talk about it.
It's an awesome, awesome story. It basically, it's his life story in the sports and entertainment business, and it started at a pretty young age.
He started his first business at 11 years old, and he morphed that. It was a mail order for movie posters, and he changed it over to taking pictures of wrestlers and worked his way into the wrestling business as a photographer and then as a promoter. And then he learned how to book and he learned how to write. And he just took this journey where he went everywhere. So think about it. Paul Heyman's really been in the wrestling business since he was a teenager, probably 13 or 14 years old, trying to break in, and he's probably now in, what, his 50s? 40s, 50s?
I'm not sure. I'll look it up. But, yeah, he started very, very young, as Lindsay mentioned, as a photographer, taking pictures at the old Madison Square Garden shows in New York. And he would take photos, and he would publish them in a newsletter or sell them to magazines and Bill After Mags and stuff like that. He's 48. He worked his way into meetings, creative meeting, into production meetings. He met Vince McMahon Sr. He tells the story, I don't know if it's on the DVD or the extras, because I watched both, how Vince McMahon Sr. would end up paying him $50 each week whenever he showed up to cover his travel when he handed some photos, which is kind of cool. So he starts taking photos, putting them in magazines and stuff like that. And they were in the programs and stuff, and that's where he would sell most of his pictures and what have you. And then he became a promoter for, what's the name of the club? Studio 54.
Studio 54.
Studio 54. And he worked his way. That's where he promoted his first wrestling event, believe it or not. He became a photographer for Studio 54, and then the original photographer was drunk and got tossed out of Studio 54, and then Heyman became the head photographer. And then they needed to promote something on Friday nights, and Paul Heyman says, "Oh yeah, sure, I can do that." Just like he said, "Oh yeah, sure, I can take photographs just like that and for magazines and whatever."
Why not? I've been doing it my whole life. Just the gumption of Paul Heyman. It's like, you have to admire him. Whether you love him or hate him, you have to admire just his sheer balls of steel.
Yeah. So he talks about that, and his first wrestling event, he was giving out an award to Ric Flair, WCW, I believe it was WCW at the time. Or, no, it was Jim Crockett. Flew Flair, Tully, and Arn up, I believe it was. They had a show in Philadelphia up to New York to Studio 54 in their private plane for Ric Flair to receive the award. He offered it first to Vince, but Vince was on the West Coast. He wanted to give it to Hulk Hogan, but they were out on the West Coast at that time. And it became his first wrestling event was promoted, given an award to Ric Flair, and it was the first event for Bam Bam Bigelow, who became a big star in that time. And then he goes on to tell how he went to Florida, and he went to Jim Crockett Promotions, he went to Florida, he went to Memphis, and he had heat with Jerry Lawler. He was the manager for Austin Idol down in Memphis, and he just tells these great stories about going from territory to territory, and how he just hustled his way in every place. He tells an awesome story about Dusty Rhodes in there as well. It was like, He wasn't supposed to be in the meeting. He sat in the back row. Dusty spotted him. He was like, oh, crap. I'm about to be tossed out of here. I'm going to be sent back to New York. Never to be heard from again. And then Dusty let him in. And he would take him under his learning tree. And every week, Payman would move closer, closer, closer until he's basically right next to him. as the story goes. It's a really fun example, especially just the backstory of Paul Heyman, how he was a manager, and how he went from being a photographer, working as a promoter, but he's always had the passion to know about the business. That's basically what his goal, to learn about the backstory of the business. And it was a really cool story.
Yeah, I mean, especially given the time that he broke in, because that was still in the time when you couldn't get that kind of information regularly. It wasn't like it is now, where the business is fully exposed. The business was still very secret when Paul Heyman broke in, and kayfabe was very much alive. So to earn the trust of the wrestlers and to get in and sort of start learning the way that he did is really kind of a cool thing to hear and see. And I'm sure it was extremely difficult for him. Like, I think my favorite story that he told, or one of the favorite stories that he told, was when he was first starting out as a photographer, and he found out where Vince McMahon Sr. had lunch, or had dinner, after they worked Madison Square Garden. Because he read it in a gossip column, so he found out where Vince McMahon Sr. got his haircut, found out where he got, you know, where he had dinner after the show. So then he proceeds to get the number for Vince Sr.'s wrestling promotion, calls up the promotion, and says, oh, well, he promised me a press pass, and, you know, at such and such steakhouse when I met him there the last time he worked the garden. And so, you know, of course, they're like, oh, well, we're so sorry. And they send him a press pass. So think about it. He was, what, 15 years old?
Uh-huh.
And he got a press pass into Madison Square Garden, and he hustled his way in. It's just like, dude, that's amazing.
He's a born hustler.
He's a born salesman. That's what he is. He's just a pitch man.
Oh, he really is. We get told stories about ECW, but I think this was on The Exorcist as well. He tells this story. I believe it was Freddie Blassie. I think it was. He was offered to drive him home one day, right, back to somewhere in New York, because they had to go somewhere in New York back to Pittsburgh or whatever. I believe that was the direction. So Paul Heyman gets a drive with Freddie Blassie, and they're driving along, but Freddie's like swerving in and out, and like everyone in the road is yelling at him, and the whole time Blassie's like, this is how you get heat. See, this is the real kind of heat. This is the type of heat you gotta put on your guys, that everyone just yelling at you wherever you go. And Paul Heyman's fearing for his life because they're swerving around and all that stuff. And at one point, Paul Heyman just starts to freak out. And it's like, what are you doing? You're going to get us killed. And then they pull over, and Blassie's like, what do you want from me? I'm like 80% blind in one eye. So he can't see out of one eye. And Heyman's like, oh my God, what am I doing here? He's got fears for his life. So again, as Lindsay mentioned, he's 15 years old at this point. So what does any good 15-year-old do? Hops in the driver's side seat and drives the wrestling away. Which is kind of awesome. Drives Blassie home. So at that point, if you think that's the nuts of the story, there's a little bit more to it. Paul Heyman's father comes against Paul Heyman because they were at Blassie's house. So his father became, because his father would always come and get him at the shows, but he said, I have a ride, pick me up here. So Heyman's father was a veteran of the wars, and so was Blassie, and they were sharing stories, and in this proud moment for Paul Heyman, he's all excited. Blassie is putting him over to his father. we all respect him. We like your son. He's very, you know, intelligent, yada, yada, yada. Basically hyping him up like none other. But he tells his father, Heyman's father, your son is a terrible driver.
No.
He's like the worst driver ever. And then Heyman says, at that point, I just sink down in my seat. Busted. One of the greatest stories.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We then get told about this time in ECW, and he set a lot of things, a lot of records straight about the finances, how they were paid $1,000 from ECW because they had a sponsorship deal with a record company for Too Cold Scorpio's music to be played on the show. Well, WWE wanted to use Too Cold Scorpio, so because they had a trade-off, you know, ECW would send guys to WWE, and WWE would send guys to ECW to develop them, etc. But they had this one sponsorship, and if they lose Too Cold Scorpio, they lose $1,000 a week. So the ECW parent company was paid a grand every week by WWE, not Paul Heyman, to replace the sponsorship they were losing when they took Too Cold Scorpio, who became Flash Funk. You got a lot of behind the scenes. You heard from Gabe Sapolsky, Tommy Dreamer, Bill Apter, his partner, Ron something or other, I can't remember off the top of my head, who was the producer and director of the TV show. You hear all these great stories about how they traveled together and all the stories about how it produced the show, and it's like, and then you get into the WWE stuff. It was a great DVD. It's a 2-hour long documentary. It's really, really good.
It's really very thorough, and there was some stuff missing. There was some stuff left out. Obviously, they can't talk about everything in his career, partially because some of it presents a conflict in terms of... I was really kind of hoping they would actually talk about him managing Taker in WCW, but obviously they can't. They're not going to show that. I say they should. They can't, but they're probably not going to, because obviously The Undertaker is The Undertaker, and they're not going to show necessarily anything at this point outside of what he's done in WWE.
They covered one thing in there about the WCW lawsuit that he, because he got fired, when he got fired, there was a lawsuit. There was, like, he could not talk about it.
No, there's apparently a gag order on both sides that cannot
ever
discuss it. And he can discuss it, he just cannot discuss it on camera.
Right.
Like, if it's in private and nobody knows, like, it's just, you know, you and him sitting there shooting shit, and you're talking and he tells you about it, it's like, yeah, you know, you find out what happens, but you can't talk about it. You know, it's one of those best kept secrets kind of things. So, yeah, but that's, I find that interesting. He gets fired and he sued WCW and he won.
Oh, for wrongful termination, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like, there you go, Heyman.
And that's how he financed ECW. That'll be off of that, and good in the stock market.
And also his parents. In the end, his parents helped out and helped to finance.
They became investors, the investor into the company, yes.
But unfortunately, that wasn't enough. And one of the things that I found really interesting was when they talked about the death of ECW and how Heyman specifically waited 90 days after the last checks had gone out for ECW before he filed bankruptcy. And I like how it was either Dreamer or Styles who set that straight.
Joey.
Yeah, it was Joey who he said there was a reason why he couldn't tell anybody. There was a reason why he waited that he did. So basically, because it's like when you file for bankruptcy, any checks that you sent out 90 days before, the money can be recalled by your creditors. So Paul purposely waited 90 days before filing for bankruptcy to protect the money that he had given to the wrestlers and to anybody else that had worked for the company. So essentially, he made sure that he tried to do as best as he could to make good on their end before, you know, at the end of the company, which is a pretty cool thing if you think about it.
Yeah, for everyone to say bounce checks and all that stuff, and a lot, there were a lot of bounce checks, and then you could have sued Paul Heyman. He was sued plenty. There's a lot of road stories about Paul Heyman and the extras that everyone needs to go watch. But it's something where he did right by the people who worked for him at the very end. They all got paid. If they were paid, they wouldn't have to worry about their money, as it was 2.5 months into his WWE career that he finally signed the contract.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
And then they talk about his WWE career, him commentating with Jim Ross for the second time. He says he's learned a lot from JR, and they actually do like each other, that he is a Paul Heyman guy. Is Jim Ross. A lot of people are Paul Heyman guys and girls. Beth Phoenix was on the DVD. Edge was on the DVD, which was cool to see.
Punk was on the DVD.
So we got to hear about him writing for SmackDown, which was cool. You got a little bit behind the scenes there. Stephanie admits in the extras that she's a Paul Heyman fan. She's not a Paul Heyman girl. She's a Paul Heyman fan.
You know, honestly, in listening to Stephanie, I haven't watched the extras, but in listening to what she talks about, obviously I think she has a respect for Paul Heyman's talent. I don't think she necessarily likes him as a person. I don't think she likes to work with him, but I think she has a huge respect for what he's capable of and what he knows and what he can bring to the table.
I think they got tired of each other when he was on the writing team.
Yeah. Well, it's something of you can tell in his personality that, you know, he seems like a nice person, but he's a very in-your-face, intense individual, and I can imagine that, you know, in creative, it's being a very creative individual, it's kind of your way or the highway, and that's what he wants, because he thinks every idea he comes up with is brilliant.
All right, Dreamer points out, and I think it was, again, in the extras, he, you know, the whole thing, where you just poke at someone. Am I annoying? Mm-hmm. Am I annoying? Yeah, that's Paul Heyman. Just pokes at you. Am I annoying? And that sort of thing. So we got to hear about the behind the scenes of the writing and stuff like that. And we got to hear about him forming the alliance with Brock Lesnar. And overall, it was a really cool thing. You heard a lot of people really speak highly of Paul Heyman. And then at the tail end, the very last 10 minutes, you heard Natalya talk about how she can always go to Paul Heyman, and she would give him straight shoot and give him advice. And he talks about coming back, how he never thought after December Dismember, where he had the big blowout with Vince McMahon, that he would ever be back, because he never wanted to be back. She can go to Paul, and he would straight shoot with her. And then someone else had a comment.
Bray. They got Bray Wyatt on the DVD.
Yes, they did. And he talks how he makes you believe Paul Heyman does. We got to hear about the Heyman hustle part of things and how the company he grew. So it was really cool. It was very, very informative. It's a fantastic DVD.
Oh, it is. I really loved it. I loved how it covered his whole career. And you got to learn things about him that you never knew. Like, again, for me as a fan, I never got to see ECW when it was in its prime. I wasn't watching when he was in WCW. So for me to see that and see how he evolved from being, you know, kind of that young kid to Paul E. Dangerously, to, you know, in WCW and in the indies, to ECW, to Paul Heyman in WWE, the first run, and then the second run, and kind of see how over really kind of a 30-plus year career, I would say, how he's morphed and changed and evolved and become this person that we see now, that's a really cool journey to see. Because it's something of, through that whole thing, and one thing that I love that they pointed out is he's kept his passion and his love for the business. Like, he says it multiple times. He's a fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fan of the business. And you see that he just loves what he does, and he takes such a pleasure and such an enjoyment from it.
Especially now.
And, you know, I think the cool thing about him is that his favorite thing to do is to make new stars, to work with young talent, and to help bring them forward and bring them into their prime and help them get to where they need to be.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can tell that that's where his heart kind of really lies, and that's really what he loves to do.
He does. He mentions they go into detail about his time in OVW and how he got to mold the future. He got to mold like people like Beth Phoenix. He got to mold people like CM Punk when they restarted ECW. Like the brand is like, I want him.
Yeah, it's like he got to mold and shape Brock Lesnar. You know, it's something of, you can tell that that's what he enjoys to do, that that's what he loves to do, and I like that they pointed that out on the DVD. And you can tell that Heyman has a tremendous amount of respect for the business, and the business, people within the business, not everybody may like him, but they respect him. To a degree.
Then he does have some detractors out there, but for the most part, people are fans because he's very good at what he does, and it's just, again, he's a born hustler, and this is one of those DVDs. They've had a good string of DVDs from CM Punk DVD to the Rock DVD. There's one other that I'm sort of missing. I can't remember off the top of my head. The Triple H one. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
The Triple H one.
Triple H one was good, yeah. And they have several more in production right now. And their DVD department is really kind of top notch. And they do a wonderful job with documentaries because they go in depth. And they get the interviews, and they're not staged interviews. You can tell what people were saying, especially on this one, it was the truth. It may not have all been positive, but for the most part, it really was. And they look back into the history, and they kind of explore what makes this person tick, and, you know, who they really are. And I like how also people were talking about how he really changed when he became a dad.
Yeah.
And I loved how his perspective on what kind of how he's going to be judged for his legacy is not what he's done in the wrestling business, but what his children do. And that's going to be what his mark on this planet will be, is what his children do and become.
What's kind of cool, and then again, the extras part of it, I keep bringing this up because it's a 2-hour extra thing. So you have a 2-hour documentary, there's like 2 hours of extras.
Wow.
And I have a clip we're going to play of Joey Styles telling a story about Paul Heyman, which is hilarious.
Oh no.
But Paul Heyman's answering machine for his phone is him teaching his kid how to cut a promo.
Oh my gosh.
Is basically he's having the kid recite the lines for the answering machine, and it's basically him, you know, verbalizing, teaching the kid how to do a promo on the answering machine, and they actually have the audio of it on the extras DVD. So yeah, that's something to see.
It has to be like the cutest thing ever.
It kind of is. It's cute, and it's like, lay off the kid a second, Paul. She's just a young kid.
Gotta learn it, man. You gotta learn it.
Gotta teach them young. Like I mentioned, we have a clip from the Extras DVD because Joey Styles, this is the first time he's telling a story about Paul Heyman. So I'm gonna let you guys listen to this a couple minutes long. So sit back, enjoy. And I'm just gonna mention at the start of it, the grin on Joey Styles' face in the first 10 seconds, and you'll hear it, is priceless. So take a listen to this.
Do you have any stories of Paul lying to you?
This is the first time I'm telling this story publicly. This is the first time I'm telling this story publicly. I asked Paul Heyman to be a groomsman in my wedding. It was all of my high school friends, who are still my best friends, and Paul Heyman, who I felt I deserved to ask because he had given me the opportunity to achieve my lifelong dream. The wedding was on a Sunday to not interfere with any ECW shows, so my friends from ECW could be at the wedding, and so Paul could be a groomsman. The wedding took place 15 minutes from his home on a Sunday afternoon. Paul Heyman no-showed my wedding. All my groomsmen were there because they came to my house the morning of the wedding. We were at the church. My wife was there. No Paul. I didn't have a cell phone at the time. It was 1997. I couldn't reach Paul. We waited for about 15 minutes and went ahead with the wedding. So, of course, we have the wedding ceremony, which was 90 minutes long. No Paul. We then go to take photos at a local park. No Paul. We then have the cocktail hour at my wedding reception. No Paul. We then get halfway through the wedding. Paul comes charging in with that power walk he does. He is obviously fresh out of the shower, in his tuxedo. The bow tie is not on. And I am furious. Paul has some cuts over here in what is his freshly showered wet hair and a black eye. And he comes up with this story that he was in the city picking up his date, a model. They were in a taxi cab and they got into an accident. And that's why he has the black eye and the cuts, because his head broke the window and he was in the emergency room and they didn't want him to leave. And he insisted on leaving so he could make it to my wedding. Now, look, at that point, I had been in our industry for 5 years. Not counting my time at Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I know what sports entertainment injuries look like versus real injuries. Paul Heyman, to this day, as we do this interview, I've been married for 16 years. Paul Heyman is sticking to that story.
I was in a taxi cab and we got smashed. And then my car broke down in Westchester. Once I got to my car broke down off the exit.
Way to commit, Paul. That is commitment. To this day, he will not admit that he just missed my wedding because he was busy tending to ECW matters. Paul Heyman missed my wedding and beat himself up because he was so afraid of what I might do. Are you kidding me? I want someone who you interview to top that story. Really. Follow that.
I have no words. I just have no words. That is the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
I like Heyman's response. Yeah, we got in an accident, and then I got to my car, it broke down.
It's awesome.
And he beats himself up, so it looks like he was beat up in an accident.
I love it. I know what sports entertainment injuries look like.
That was tremendous, yeah. So, we both highly recommend you pick up the new Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman DVD, available now on WWEShop.com, Amazon, and local retailers. It's worth the money. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're into wrestling history, if you're into really just anything even remotely close to wrestling history, this is definitely worth the watch. And if nothing else, it's 2 hours with Paul Heyman, where you sit down and you get to hear him tell stories and you kind of see how he thinks and how he does things, because he does see things on another level. And dude, what I would give to like just learn from Paul Heyman, because that's the other cool thing that they brought up that we didn't mention before, is in addition to helping to create new stars, he loves to pass on knowledge. He loves to teach and grow and learn as a person. And he does that by teaching others. Like, there's a really cool story where Dreamer was talking about how Heyman taught him to edit.
CM Punk tells the same story when he was down at OVW. He invites you to the production, invites you over to the studio. Watch it, and as I'm doing it, I'm going to teach you how to do it, and that's what he does, and he teaches everybody.
Yeah, it's something of, he passes his knowledge on, and what he gets from it is, as he teaches that person the skill, he learns as well.
And he, hopefully, those people will then teach other people how to do it as well.
Right, which I thought, I found it really kind of interesting that Dreamer said that at the time that Heyman kind of pulled him aside and said, hey, do you want to learn how to edit? That wasn't done in the business. If you were a wrestler, you were a wrestler. You didn't do office, you didn't do anything else. So Heyman kind of sort of revolutionized that for a lot of talent, where, because it's like you found out, because I never knew this, that in ECW, you know, Taz and Dreamer and Bubba and Devon were all office. In the front office.
Bubba was the merch guy.
Yeah, Bubba was the merch guy. No.
No, Bubba was the promoter. Taz was the merch guy. He created the merch.
Right. So it was really kind of interesting how ECW was run and how Heyman kind of broke down doors and revolutionized things in terms of the wrestling business and how things were done. Because he didn't stick to the old ways. He really carved his own path.
He did.
And it's cool as a, you know, as somebody who maybe needs a little inspiration, you know, if you're down on your luck or whatever, which I kind of am right now, to see that, you know, it can turn out all right. You can follow your dreams and pursue what you want, and in the end, it will turn out okay.
Correct.
So, it's a very, very, very cool watch. It's actually pretty inspirational. And just to hear him talk and to hear him tell stories about his history is really pretty cool. Because it gives, at least for me, it gave me a whole new appreciation and a whole new respect for Paul Heyman as an individual.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, again, WWEshop.com, Amazon.com, and wherever DVDs are sold.
Get it now, it's kind of awesome, and you won't regret watching it. Spending 2 hours on the documentary, you watch the extras, you get 4 hours, and there's a bunch of other stuff, matches and stuff included that I've not been able to get to yet, so it's worth the time, it's worth the money, it's worth the investment. Go out, buy it, watch it. You won't regret it.
You may learn something.
I know I did.
I did as well. So on that note, I say we wrap up the show for the evening. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Well, you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
And it's fitting we're closing out to this song. If the song doesn't represent 90s, I don't know what does. Make it a little louder. There you go. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Who will be on the show? Will the part-time player show up? Who knows? We have 3 Blame Robs so far.
Man, he's been busy.
And he even dug into wrestling. So check it out. Hashtag Blame Rob. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Midnight-ish. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandana. Sunday night is WTR Sunday night. The SummerSlam preview with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. And the conversation begins. What is the greatest finisher of all the times? We'll find out. Starts this Sunday on WTR. Sunday night, Monday night. It's a Raw post show. Right after Monday Night Raw, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Lindsay Ward will be here to discuss Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack. We'll probably be talking about SummerSlam, NXT, and whatever other breaking stories that possibly happen in the week. You can follow us on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Apparently, you can follow Tim on Twitter at GoNHLGo and with the new Twitter handle at ManKitchenTV. At ManKitchenTV. Follow Tim now.
Please do. I guess that's my cue to, you know, chill stuff.
Yes.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Go check that out. Also, please check out RackRadioShow.com for all our archives of our interviews that we've done, including with the amazing Rob Schomburger. Definitely go give that a listen. You should also visit our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, which, yes, has been put out by the amazing Paul Heyman, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Definitely want to check that out because, well, Matt's awesome.
He kind of is. Remember, check out the website, WildTalkRadio.com, tomorrow for the Impact Wrestling wins and fails for tonight's episode of Impact, where it happens.
Yes, where it totally happens. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Board. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!